Blog Talk Radio. My Blog Talk listeners out there, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and I'm hoping you guys are having a great week. It's almost over, you guys. One more day. You notice how quickly the month of August is slipping away from us? Kids are back in school. Some kids went off to college. And maybe for a second or two, the house is quiet. You get some me time. And some him and he and she time, maybe. I want to apologize. I scheduled for Dangerous Lee, the author of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. She was supposed to be interviewed tonight, but something came up, so I'm going to reschedule her to come back. And I thought I would talk about something that kind of struck me maybe about a day or so ago, 2 days, maybe 3 days, I can't remember when it was. But I wanted to talk about what does it mean when we don't go to church. Now, first of all, let me say this is not a discussion about condemning people who don't go to church or, you know, looking down on people who do go to church. I don't want to give that impression. I just want, because it's something that I battle with, and I used to be an avid churchgoer, and I think it's a thing that we deal with ourselves opposed to how we see the church. I think has a lot to do with how we're seeing it and how we feel about ourselves. That's just me. That's my battle. And does when it says, when we say how important it is for us to go to church, where do we come to the conclusion that there, how important it is for us to, how important is it the impact on our lives if we do go to church and if we don't go to church? Now, if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-677-1749. If you want to call in, just, I'm here. Now, me, I read the Bible. I've read it more than once. But because, and that's the backlash of not going to Bible study, is because you lose some of the stuff that you were taught. And I'm saying that from my point of view or from what I've learned. Like I said, I was an avid churchgoer. Bible study, I taught it. Sunday school, I taught it. You know, very much into the church. But something happened, and I am so much struggling right now, you know. And it's so unlike me. And I think a lot of it has to do with how I'm allowing people to perceive me, you know. And sometimes, and I'm going to be honest, and sometimes it just all this churchy stuff, and I hate to say it like that, kind of bothers me because I don't like it if you're fake about it, and it's not my judgment call to say whether or not you're fake. I just don't believe you should act one way, you know, at home, then you act another way at church, and then you act another way at your job. And I think you should have, if you're about the business of the Lord, then you should act that way no matter where you go. So I am going to do a little reading from the Bible. Please, like I said, this is not a Sunday school lesson or anything. And this is the King James Version. You know, there's so many different versions of the Bible. So I'm going to be reading some passages from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. And I came upon some information about why is it so it needs to be crystal clear why we need to go to church. According to Mr. I know you guys heard of the guy who wrote the book Purpose Driven Life, Mr. Warren. According to him, he said the reason why we should go to church is to bring people to Jesus and membership in his family, develop them to Christ-like maturity and equip them for their ministry in the church and life mission in the world in order to magnify God's name. Now, that's what he says the reason why he thinks that we should go to church. And which is a good reason. And I know another reason was to gather people together that are like-minded and to worship God together. So my question to that is, I can't worship God in my home. I have to worship him with other people. Does that change how he sees me? Or because that's part of being obedient when it comes to God? You know, that's a big old, a big, if you hear my dog barking, shh, shh, shh. Please disregard. As you know, this is a live show. Please disregard my dog barking. He hears our other dog barking, so he just seems to have to bark. I mean, she has to bark. Okay, as I was saying, does that change how I perceive God because I'm not, you know, am I lesser of a Christian if I don't go to church? Or, I mean, am I kicked out of the realm of God because I'm not in church, or am I being disobedient because I'm not coming together with like-minded people? So that's something I struggle with, you know. The Bible, I mean, regardless of what people say, it's the Bible and we were taught it, and some people don't believe a lot of stuff that's in the Bible, but I mean, I was raised up on it. Yeah, maybe we need to have a different mindset on things, but it's here and we've read it, and, you know, I think of the time when we were not allowed to read it. And you take it in your heart. And I always tell anybody who reads the Bible, before you start reading the Bible, ask for two things from God. Pray for wisdom and understanding, because a lot of times, our interpretations of what's in the Bible is not the same as everybody else's. And that's why he says he wants us to know the word for ourselves. Don't look for everybody else to tell us what's in this word. Pick it up and read it yourself. Yeah, sometimes it's hard, but they have so many other resources you can use with your Bible. You have the concordances that you can use with your Bible to help you understand a lot of stuff. Now, remember, this Bible has been written several times. So the interpretations and the way things are in the Bible have been changed so many times. So it can be very confusing. But back to, I just wanted to get that out there because it is sometimes hard for people to understand the Bible. And when you have somebody else and interpreting it to you, you have to be careful with that. That's just like asking anybody to pray for you. Be careful who you ask to pray for you, because you don't know what's in that person's heart. No matter how much they laugh and smile in your face, you really, truly don't know what's in their heart. So you have to be very careful. That's why I don't, oh, please pray for me. No, I don't. That's not something I just fall out my mouth every time, you know, I see somebody. Oh, please pray. No. Mm-mm. No. Don't. Because you don't know me like that for you to pray for me, no matter what. You know, even though I am part of the, I'm a Christian, you have to be careful, because some people who profess to be Christians are not always Christians. So you have to be careful with that. And I'm not doing a judgment call. I'm just stating a fact. And I think that's my battle with church. Now, let's see here. Now, our actual question, how important is it for me to go to church? Now, like I said before, there's several reasons why we should go to church according to Mr. Warren, or Pastor Warren, that is, I'm sorry. Okay, one thing was to bring people to Jesus and membership in his family, develop them to a Christ-like maturity, and equip them with their ministry in the church and life mission in the world in order to magnify God's name. Now, okay, I do understand that one. That's clear. Then there was another question. Why do we have to go to church? Was another question. This is why do we go to church? And this is why do we have to go to church? Now, it says the evil forces at work in this world and the world's worries and are all trying to separate us from the fellowship of Christ, Holy Spirit, which is in his church. The gathering of his people alone, we are at the mercy of the devil, just waiting to snatch us up into the bitter life and eternal death. In the fellowship of his church, we have the power of Almighty God to overcome the powers of sin and evil. Now, I have a problem with that, and that's just me, because when I read that, that's saying that even though I'm not with everybody else, that I'm not strong enough to fight off evil, to fight off the devil, because that's what I just read. Maybe, if you think I that's not right, call in 347-677-1749, but that was my interpretation, that I'm not strong enough to fight him off alone. When you come to God and you give your life over to Christ, there's nobody with you. You're doing that. That's between you and him. So why am I not strong enough to fight him off? You know? And we have to, and that's why I like to kind of break some of this stuff down. Now, I do understand there is an importance in going to church. But remember, back in the Bible days, I can't remember what scripture it's in, they didn't meet in churches and in synagogues. They met in homes. People congregated and was taught in homes. They were not taught in a building. I guess the building came along later on, but they were not taught inside a building. You went to people's homes and sat and prayed and gathered together and was taught. So, why do I have to get up on a Sunday morning, get dressed, and go sit and listen to somebody talk to me about the Bible? Why can't I do that at home? 347-677-1749. I would love to get an answer. Why do I have to get up and go to church? And why can't people come to my home and tell me about Christ? Or sit down and talk to me? Why do I have to congregate with a whole bunch of other people? Why am I not allowed to just select a few people that I want to deal with and leave it at that? Do I have that call? No, because simply as a Christian, it's a lot of us. And if we are all together, then that's what we're all supposed to do. Now, according to the 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made of one part, but of many parts. So, that explains why we should go to church. Now, also, it says, if no one went to church, whether if no one joined together to become Christ's body, the church, no one would know of Jesus Christ and his salvation, and we all would be lost. Now, I have a problem with that because I don't think that's true. Now, remember, if I am already like Christ and I am already a Christian, why would I be lost? Not to say I know everything about being a Christian, but why would I be lost? You know, why would I be lost? I can't do my mission work at home. I mean, technology is now that you can do, I can go to church online. I can do my Sunday school lessons online. You know, so I'm trying to figure out why would we say that. Now, also I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is dealing with Paul. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said all saints. So, does that mean that only people that believed in God should go to church? Because if you read that, he was directing that to all saints, and all saints were the people who went to church, not the sinners. Only the saints went to church. So, again, I'm just asking the question, if I'm already bonded, believed, baptized, saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit in Christ, why do I need to get together and fight off evil when I can fight off evil on my own? And that's praying and fasting and meditating on the Word. I can't do that at home. Just asking. So, I don't understand that. And that's why I'm wanting to get an answer to that. If I can do all these things at home, why do I need to gather up in the church and sit around a bunch of people and do the same thing? You know, why? And I know people who might be listening probably feel like, oh, my God, if you know me, and I'm still having a problem with going back to church. I really do. I do not get me wrong. I know the Word. Okay? And what I don't know, I don't mind stopping and meditating and asking God to show me and to give me the knowledge and wisdom to understand his word. I do that all the time. But why do I need to sit up in a church house? Why do I need to leave my home to go sit and listen to a preacher when I can sit at home and have all the church I want? Because they've made it available on the Internet. So things have changed from when this article was written, because technology has allowed us to be able to do this, to be able to listen to the Word. Now, another question I asked, and before we go any further, I want to do something. I want to cut away to a commercial. All ready to roll. Secret Journal by C.B. McCall. Antoine and Ephraim had so much going for them. Great jobs, kids, money, houses, cars. But they were missing something. The love that first started the relationship. Love seemed to have packed up and moved away. It was their job to bring it back. So a trip to their condo in Texas was supposed to do the trick. Eve brought a journal and began to write. Never in a million years did she think it would change the course of their lives. Secret Journal. Okay. Now, let's get back. I'm back. Again, you can call in at 347-677-1749. And we're back on our conversation about why do we need to go to church. And I was talking about the second question I asked too was, why do we make such a big deal about going to church? And I guess really, we talked about fellowshipping with others, listening to a preacher. What do we learn from preacher? You know, we learn the word. So I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm listening to this preacher do a sermon, which is nothing more than a story that relates to something in the Bible. And when he finishes with his sermon, there's an invitation to invite people to Christ, okay? And once he does that, benediction, and everybody goes home. Now, again, why can't I do that at home? Now, we understand that preachers and pastors are ordained. They're called. Some of them are not, but a lot of them are. Called to teach the word and to lead God's sheep. That's understandable. But again, why can't I do this on my own? Why can't I read the Bible, learn the word on my own? Why do I need to sit around a bunch of other people? I mean, this is just a question. I'm not trying to say, you know, that it's wrong or right. I'm just asking the question. Why do I need to do this? I'm not good enough. I don't know enough about the word that I need somebody to spend an hour telling me about it when I can spend hours reading the word and learning the word and knowing what it says. And since the Bible is our pathway to righteousness, why can't I journey it alone? Why do I need to get together with others? I don't get it. I mean, me and a friend of mine was talking about that because she kind of has the same feeling I do. She said she don't mind going to church, listening to the word, and she don't want to do all the extra stuff that goes on with church. She just wants to go and listen to the word. And sometimes I feel the same way. I know that's in tradition. I'm telling you guys, Tradition is going to kill the church. It's because we don't want to change how we do things. We want everything to be the same when it can't be. It has to change. When Christ died on the cross for us and rose, that was a change that took place. That things can't be the same. He died for us so that things can be different. So why are we so caught up in tradition? You got this place here. You only can sit in this part of the church. You know, why are we so caught up in tradition? When all we need to be doing there is praising God, listening to the word, being taught things that we probably don't understand. Some people don't understand, or some people don't know. So that's fine. But why do we have to add all this other stuff? I mean, even singing the praises. I can sing the praises at home. What's stopping me from singing the praises at home? You know, because of technology, it's a lot of stuff. And I'm just looking at it from another perspective if we are at home. You know, people who don't go to church, you know. And you can't judge me because I don't go to church, just like I can't judge you because you choose to sit in church for 3 and 4 hours. I can't do it. I, just like my friend, I like to go to church, hear the word. All the other stuff, I don't really need. I just want to hear the word so that I can, you know, take it in, meditate on it, you know, and then I can go home. But we added all this other stuff because there's nowhere in the Bible that you had the secretary stand up and read the announcements. It has nowhere in the Bible where you marched and did. None of that is in the Bible. That's man-made stuff that was created to put into the church or the church activities and stuff. All of that wasn't in the original church. You praise the Lord. You did do that, but all that other extra stuff that we do that takes up 2 and 3 and 4 hours and coming back to church, we stay in church from, I say, some people go to church at 8 o'clock. Don't get out of church till 3. That's too long. That's almost a whole day's work. To me, in my mindset, that's too long because the average attention span of a human being is from 15 to 20 minutes. So from 15 to 20 minutes, that's the only time you got my mind. And that's where I can learn from. Other than that, I'm going to turn you off. So why do we spend all that time in church? What is the whole, I mean, a lot of it, and I'm going to say it like it is. I'm going to call it like I'm going to call it. A lot of it is showboating. You know, what is that about? God doesn't like a prideful heart and a prideful people. And sometimes we as Christians, we get that way. You know, we get to the point where, I mean, I'm sorry, I can't see myself going to church all day and then coming back at 6 o'clock and don't get out to 8. I don't see the purpose in it. I really don't. And like I said, that's a battle I have to have with myself because my mindset has changed. It doesn't mean that I don't love the Lord, that I don't believe in his word, that I don't read his word, and I don't understand it. And I don't talk to other Christians. I do. I'm just saying my thing is, why do I have to sit up in a building all day, you know, and listen to something that only gets 15 to 20 minutes of my time anyway? You know, it amazes me. You know, it really does. And lots of times, and it's not me judging anyone, but lots of times we spend all that time in church, and when we get home, guess what? Nothing's changed. We're still bitter. We're still mean. We're still hateful. So I want to know if I was a sinner or a non-Christian, I don't want to say sinner, but if I was a non-Christian and I see you go to church and you praising the Lord all the time and, you know, and we're all supposed to be like-minded people and all this, and when I see you sitting over in the corner talking about somebody, you know, and it says in the Bible, no backbiting, you know, and tell you how important it is to watch your tongue, because the tongue is a very dangerous thing. You know, and I'm listening to the preacher telling me all of this, and then I'm looking at you, and you're supposed to be setting example no matter what nobody say. A Christian is supposed to be setting example, and that's their whole way of leading others to the word, is to set an example. And when you're not setting example, how do you think I feel as a person who doesn't know the Bible or is not familiar with the word, you know? And I mean, I hate to say that, and it's really not the church. It's the people in the church that makes a difference or makes or breaks a building or a church. It's the people in it, you know. It's, nowadays, there's so much drama in churches. It is. It's so much drama, unnecessary. And that's why, I guess, too, a lot of people just go to church and go home. They don't get involved with all the other activities, you know. Because it's too much work, it's too much stress. You know, why? You're supposed to go to church and enjoy it, not, you know, worry about all the stuff that's going on in it. And you're supposed to go and enjoy yourself and come home. But lots of times that is not the way it goes, especially in our African American churches. I only can speak for our churches. Sitting in church all day long, I don't know what you're learning, because I can't. Do no judgment call on that. But you come home and you haven't changed now. Monday morning you get up, you're fussing from top to bottom. You get to work and you're fussing at work. You're very mad. You're upset. So why go to church when I can sit at home and be this terrible person? And then go out and holler how much of a Christian I am. And throw that Christian out there and use it as a weapon. Actually, we use it as a weapon toward each other. We take that Bible and we use the Bible as a weapon toward each other. So, if I'm going to do all that, why go to church? Again, why go to church? Now, we talk about the like-mindedness. Now, if I am of Christ and you are of Christ and we're in there together and we're doing what we're supposed to do, that's different. But there's another side to it. We're Christ-like. We believe in God. And there is something I need to say to that. There is a saying that God is not through with me yet. That's true. But are you actually working toward him, even trying to change you, or are you determined to stay like you are? You know, because we can throw that out there. Well, ooh, girl, please forgive me. Excuse me. Girl, please excuse me. God is not through with me. He's still working on me. I'm a working in progress. You know, and we say that. And it, to me, I think it's just a big cop-out and an excuse for us to be the way we are instead of actually really taking time out to really change how you know you need to be changed, and you know you need to change how you do things, and you still continue to do them, and you make an excuse for it. That's what I look at things. I mean, that's how I look at it. Now, another thing is, do I need to go to church? We were talking about that. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't get off the subject, but I needed to get that out. Now, according to Hebrews 10, 24 and 5, it says, and let us take thought of how to spur one another to love and good works, not abandoning our own meetings as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and even more so because you see the day drawing near. Now, what it's trying to tell us is this is the reason why we should get together. It's proof saying, according to the Bible, that Christians should attend a weekly meeting. It doesn't say at a church, but this is interpreting that it says at a church. It says churches in this day and age are usually referred to as buildings erected for the sole purposes of worshiping God and preaching his word. However, the word church is taken from the Greek word ekklesia, which means the people of God, the collective body of believers, congregation, assembly in the body of Christ, according to Knave's Topical Bible. Hence, church is not an organization, it is an organism. Okay? It is a living group of people who have one mind about them. Jesus is Lord. Now, therefore, one really never goes to church. One goes to be with the church or the group of believers. My pastor says there's no such thing as a lone Christian who is left to himself. And that's what I was saying about myself. According to this, it says no. And it says also in Proverbs 27:17, clearly states, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Hebrews 3:13 also states, encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Clearly, we need each other to keep us going. If we separate ourselves from the group of believers who have the same basic beliefs as we do, how long will it be before you start conforming to the world around you? Now, again, I say this. I understand we probably need Christians to uplift us, to keep us on that, but why can't I do that myself? I mean, and it is being disobedient because he said he wants us together as one. We're different parts of the body, like I read earlier, but we're all as one unit. And like I said, that's my battle. I don't know what your battle is, but that's my battle. Okay? Excuse me. Now, I don't believe you must attend services in a building that is affiliated with a denomination to be considered to be in fellowship with other believers. You could be in something as informal as a neighborhood meeting attended to or by one appointed to be its leader. Now, the only thing it's saying I would suggest is that you make the group you join holds to the essential and basic truths of the Bible before you commit yourself to that group, as with any group or church. But I do not believe there is anything in the Bible that would condemn the kind of assembly. As a matter of fact, I believe the members of the first century church met in each other's homes, and nothing in the Bible ever condemned them for doing so. And that's what I was saying earlier, that people met in their homes as small groups. It wasn't large groups of people. They had one leader, and they preached the word. And I guess God didn't mean for us to be alone, because if he meant for us to be alone, he would only made Eve, or he would have only made Adam and not add Eve. And he said that Adam was alone, and he wanted to fix that, so he fixed it by giving him Eve. I understand that, because that concept does work out when you have two people together. Again, my struggles has to deal with me and no one else's. So I'm not so eager to tell everybody my problems, even though it says you're supposed to be able to. But that's not true. You are supposed to go to your fellow Christian and tell them, okay, I'm having problems with my husband, or I'm having problems with my kids, hoping that they don't go and tell somebody else. In the meantime, you know, that's not always true. So it's kind of hard to find somebody that you can really fellowship with and worship God in the same way. It is hard to find people. Okay. Now, it also says here, as Christians, we need to absolutely be sure to know why we go to church. When we can be absolutely sure and believe the wrong reason, but we need to be absolutely sure about the right reason. For if we do not, then our entire focus and understanding of what church is about is faulty, and our spiritual growth will be hindered as a result of this. So before you read any further, it says, take a moment and think about why you go to church. Again, why do I go to church? And I said again, to fellowship with others. And basically, that's what we were taught, to be around like-minded people. That's what I was taught. That's the reason why we go to church. It's to worship and fellowship with like-minded people. Okay? It says that the church is a hospital for the sick. It is not a social gathering or a club. But we know that. But that's not how it is. Some churches are social gatherings, and some churches are clubs. We treat them like that. It is a family of true converted believers who come together to worship the Almighty God because of who he is. Now, and that he has saved them in that person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. These believers are those which Paul calls the saints. Remember, I read that, right? Now, and Peter calls spiritual priests. The true church is made up of those who know exactly why they go and how important it is. True believers go to church because they desire to do so. And out of the desire, their desire, they obey God's command. Now, they do not obey God's commands and then are furnished with a desire. Their desire flowing out of a changed heart pushes them to crave covenating worship. They desire the pure milk of the word, as Peter states in 1 Peter 2:2, they desire to be changed and transformed by the renewing of the mind, Romans 12:1-2. Their desire is in heaven as the citizenship is there, Psalm 73:25. They must cry out, "My soul thirsts for God," Psalms 42:2. They are craving and yearning to know God in a deeper relationship and will do anything to receive the fruit of their labor, which would thrust them deep into the mind of Christ and his grace. Now, understandable. Again, to someone who doesn't understand all of that, why do I go to church? Even though that explained it, why do I go? If I can do all of this on my own, and I'm not worried about the devil coming in and getting a stronghold on me, why? Can I be strong alone? Question to be asked out there. Can I stand alone and make all this happen for myself? Can I be strong in the word without fellowshipping with others? Or will I be forever struggling and fumbling and falling and getting up and backsliding and getting back in? Or can I be strong on my word on my own? Because I think about a preacher and evangelist and a pastor and all that. They are in the position where they're alone. Unless there's other preachers or something. But when you're over a congregation, you're alone. You're up there by yourself. Now, it takes the congregation to pray for you and to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do as a preacher and a pastor. But are you alone? Are you out there by yourself? Are you at a higher level, a higher standard? You are set at a higher standard to do better, you have to think of all this. So, are they standing alone? Is it just them and God and then the congregation? Or is it the congregation, him, and God? I mean, or God, him, and the congregation? All of that, you know, because he's by himself when he's standing up there preaching. There's nobody there with him. He's by himself. So, and because he is the head of the church, or he's the leader that God appointed him the position to be the leader. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But that's just why it's kind of confusing to me. And I never thought about that because I've always gone to church. I used to get frustrated if I didn't go to church. And as I got older, my whole viewpoint, not about God, not about spirituality, not about who I am and what I am, but mainly about how I viewed going to church has changed a lot. It really has. And I don't know why, but it really has. And that's why I thought it was very interesting to bring this subject up. And I'm, again, I say I'm not trying to do any Bible study. Okay, it says, our desire as Christians should be to attend church because that is where we are able to glorify God. That is what we were created to do. It is important to understand what glorifying God means. For without understanding this, then our desire cannot be properly harnessed, and again, our worship and church experience will be faulty and yield little, if any, growth. But again, why can't I glorify God in my home? Why? These are the questions I'm not getting the answers to. Now, it also says, what does it mean to glorify God? The first question of the shorter catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? Really, this question is simply asking, what is man's purpose and why did God create him? The answer is given. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's see. I got to read that real quick. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to glory of God. Give none offense neither to that Jews nor the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 through 33. Okay, if our main purpose is to glorify God, again, why do I have to go to church to glorify God? Why can't I glorify God at home? It doesn't say. It just says that's what our end result is, so why do we have to go to church? Now, okay. Then it says, Psalm 73:25-26 says, we were created for the intended purpose of glorifying God. Again, understandable? Verse is not hard to understand, but why? Why? Okay, I'm going to come back, take a break, and we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation. Give me a second here. Okay, kind of had some technical difficulty there. I'm working on it. It's getting better. Okay, now, and we left off where I asked, why can't I glorify God at home? Why do I have to be in church? Why can't I just chill out at the house and praise the Lord, pray to him, give him glory, read my Bible, and learn about the word? Okay. It's saying we are primarily spiritual beings who are created to worship and glorify the Creator. Romans 12:1, and then you have 1 Corinthians 6:20, 10:31, which we already read that one, 1 Peter 4:16. By enjoying God, we glorify him. Again, the question quickly arises, how can a creature glorify God? Isn't God already glorious in himself? The answer to this is man is not able to add any glory to God because God is in him of himself, perfectly glorious. When we come to church to worship and glorify God, this does not mean we add anything to him. Nothing more may be added to him in any way. If we cannot add to him, what does it mean to glorify him? Our desire for church does not come out of what we can give to God or fulfill God. He does not expect us to come to church and worship him because he is getting something out of the deal. We can never add anything to God. God is a perfect needing nothing from us. Yet there are many people who believe God needs our worship and our praise. Yeah. That is why he commands us to go to church. But to say that God needs something is to say he needs to gain something he lacks. And if God is lacking something, then he is not God. God is perfect in all his being, lacking nothing. He is the great I am, who is and always shall be just who he is. He cannot change. He cannot be added to, and he cannot be diminished. He holds the very power of eternal being in his hand. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, there you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. God is perfect and needs nothing. So God does not need us. Nothing in creation can never add anything to God. To say that we can add something to him is saying we have something God needs. Are we little gods ourselves? Certainly not. So it is not that God needs us, but rather we need him. So that is the reason why, again, we should go to church. Now, to be specific, we need from God all we can get in this life. God is the eternal spring of spiritual enrichment and nourishment, and we need to harvest as much of the spiritual nourishment in this life as we can possibly gather. We glorify God in this way when we come with a desire to know him more intimately and be graciously satisfied in God for who he is. God isn't glorified in that, not in his essence, but for in his essence, he is always perfectly glorious. But in reflecting back to God, he is, we glorify him. When we rightly worship God in church and our desire is to glorify him for who he is, we rightfully worship God in church. We reflect back the true image of God. All actions of worship are meaningless unless they are coupled in a right attitude of worship and desire for God to glorify his being. Saying all that, again, I want to know, why do I have to go to church if I can do all this? If I can glorify his name in my home? Why go to church? Again, like I said before, I was taught that going to church strictly means that like-minded people come together to worship and fellowship with God and to glorify him. It doesn't say they talk about Sunday announcements, what's going on through the week. Man added all that. So I'm trying to figure out, can I do that home? Can I do that at home without the extras? And another thing pastors do when they preach, they record it and they play it on the radio. They have their, you know, they actually have radio shows that, stations that play. So again, if I'm not able to go to church, does that make me less of a Christian? If I'm, I don't have the ability to get out of the home and go wherever I need to go to worship, does that make me less of a person? Does that take away from my Christianity? Does that say I'm not, I don't have a spot in heaven? Does that change everything about my Christian, my, who I am and who I claim to be and who I belong to? So next time when someone, if you don't go to church and someone says, oh, you're a bad person, you break it down to them and tell them, doesn't take anything from me. I'm hoping tonight you guys enjoyed the show. We have some upcoming events coming on Dangerously. We'll be back once I set a date for our interview. I have other people that I'm trying to get into it, to get interviewed on my list. Little by little, things are changing. I'm trying to make sure. Excuse me, I'm running out of time. Again, I want to say goodnight. Thank you, guys. Hoping you have a great weekend. Be safe. Love you, and keep that in mind. Why do you go to church? This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. Good night.